October of 2005, the Louisiana Baptist Convention opened up an envelope in one of their offices that was an offering of $854 cash. And that's not necessarily all that unusual for the Louisiana Baptist Convention or any Baptist convention to receive an offering, and particularly $854. It's not huge, but it's not that unusual. This was. The people who received this offering began to look at a note attached to it and found that it was sent from an area of Indonesia known as Sumatra. There were a group of 20 men who had collected an offering and sent it to Louisiana to help with the recovery effort for the Katrina hurricane that had hit 2 months earlier. Now, here's where it gets unusual. These 20 men were from an area of Indonesia where the average income was $100 a month. $100 a month. They could ill afford to send this offering. Not only that, but this was October of 2005, and December the 26th of 2004, one of the largest recorded tsunamis in history hit Indonesia. Over 250,000 people were killed. Their village, their area, was one of those areas. And so, wondering how these men could have possibly even known social media, technology, they learned about the Katrina disaster. Not only that, but when they were asked, this is what these men said. We took up a love offering and we converted it to U.S. dollars because when the tsunami hit us, Southern Baptist disaster relief teams from Louisiana came to our area and shared the gospel with us and showed the love of Christ to us. All 20 men were Muslim. And they said, our perspective of Christianity has changed 180 degrees. In the way that they helped us, how could we not then find some way to be able to help them? Do you know the impact of your giving? Do you or could you possibly know the ultimate impact of when you give? When you give of your resources, when you give of your time, when you give of your abilities and your talents. Ladies and gentlemen, generous expressions of giving will have an impact far, far beyond the gift. This morning I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we look at what I'm going to call the amazing impact of generous giving, the amazing impact of generous giving. It is another message in the series called Giving God's Way. Giving God's Way. In fact, next week we'll finish it. Today's message will finish 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. These are two chapters that where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about a gift that they had promised to give, they had not followed through yet. He, in part of his letter to them in 2 Corinthians, he's reminding them of that commitment. He's reminding them of how their commitment impacted others. He's reminding them of how others gave and urging them based upon the giving of others. And he's letting the Corinthians know how powerful generosity can be. There's one conspicuous point that is absent from these two passages. Some of you may have noticed. Not once has he discussed an amount. Not once in all these passages, go back and look, has he discussed an amount that the Corinthians were to give. It's funny, as I've talked with some of you along the way over these weeks about these passages on giving, And I've had people mention certain amounts, whether it's a tithe or 10% or certain amounts of giving. My point was he never mentions an amount. This entire set of passages in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is all about the idea of generosity. Listen, folks, you get your generosity right, you won't have to worry about the amount. It'll take care of itself. You get overwhelmed by the generosity of Christ and you respond in kind. I promise you, won't have to worry about what amount to tell you to give. You will give, and there will be far more than we even need in giving. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about how impactful your generosity can be. And there are kind of three levels of impact. There's the impact on God, there's the impact on others, and then there's the impact on the world beyond, well beyond our walls. And so let's begin 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Last week, we covered through verse 5. Paul is kind of wrapping up his conversation on their offering. And in this final passage, he begins to explain to them how impactful their giving can be. How impactful their giving can be, even on themselves, but more than that, on God, on the body of Christ, and then on others well beyond. You may not always think about how impactful your giving can be, but I promise you this. If you will just get a heart that is filled with the generosity of Christ and begin giving, it will do things you never considered your giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, let's consider some expressions of this generous giving, some impactful expressions of this generous giving. Paul says in verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. It is a proportionate deal. Some of you may remember this. Back in the very first message I preached in this series, I made a statement. I said, oftentimes we hear TV preachers talk about sowing a gift and getting back. And oftentimes what they're talking about is sowing a gift and getting back some financial blessing. Many of you have heard these TV preachers. And I made the statement that day that the giving is not the sowing, the giving is the gift. And that is true. And yet, today we look at a passage that seems to indicate the giving is sowing. And I want to say this, that according to these passages, the opportunity to give is God's grace. That is a gift. In fact, the word grace means gift, unmerited favor. And so giving in and of itself is the gift. And yet, God is so gracious that not only does he gift us with the opportunity to give, according to this verse that we're about to look at, he says that when you give, you will be blessed back for it. And so not only is the giving the gift, you'll be gifted back. Watch this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There is a proportionate response to our giving. There is a proportionate response to our generosity. Okay, Pastor, how much is bountiful? How much do I have to give to be in the category that is bountiful? How much do I have to give to move from sparingly to bountifully? Well, let's see. Verse 7. So let each one of us gives as he purposes. That word purpose means to decide. All through these passages, one of the things we've learned repeatedly is that giving tends not to be an off-the-cuff kind of an involuntary activity. Giving and generosity tends to be a very intentional thing. And if you're not giving generously, it's because you haven't set your mind to be intentional about it. And I'll tell you this, if you're going to be generous over a long period of time, if you're going to be generous consistently, it will mean you've set your mind to do that. It is an intentional activity on your part. And so he says in verse 7, that's why he says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now watch this. This last phrase in verse 7 is going to explain to you how you can give bountifully. Pastor, how do I move from sparingly to bountifully in giving? Here's what he says. Not grudgingly. Not grudgingly, reluctantly. In fact, this word sometimes is translated, there is a form of this word that's translated grief or sorrow. Not the kind of giving where I go, oh, I guess I gotta give, but because I'm supposed to. If you're giving that way, you're giving sparingly, even if you're giving a lot. Again, look at verse 7. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what? And that word cheerful, some of you may have heard this before. It's a Greek word, hilaros, and we get the English word hilarious. Now, it doesn't mean hilarious. Sometimes words evolve. And what the word hilarious means to us today is not quite the same thing. But it did infer being cheerful, being joyful. God loves givers who are joyful about it, who are cheerful about it. You want to be a giver that moves into the category of bountiful and out of sparingly, then you will be the kind of giver whose heart is joyful in giving. I don't know what the amount is. I don't know how much you're supposed to give. I'm telling you this, though, you can give a lot with a rotten heart and be sparingly, and you can maybe give less with a cheerful heart and be bountifully. It's not about the amount necessarily. Some of you have come to me and said, Pastor, I know you've been preaching on tithing. Actually, I have not. I haven't even mentioned the word tithe, have I? Not in weeks. By the way, next week I will. Next week we're going to look at what does the Bible say about that word tithe. Next week we will look at that. You want to know what the Bible says from the beginning to end? Come next week. But I'm saying right now the issue is not so much the amount. But Pastor, you got to urge people to give more. No, if I can get people to be generous, I promise you we won't have to worry about the amounts. If you are overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit of God and the joy of Christ and the generosity of Jesus, I promise you, you'll give and we won't have to worry about it. We won't have to think about money. We won't have to think about our needs. Because I'm so convinced that bountiful giving blesses the heart of God. Generous giving blesses the heart of God. If we can give in a way that blesses the heart of God, we're going to be fine. And so generous giving, part of the impact it makes is it impacts God. How can we impact God? God's perfect. God's great. Yeah, but we can still bless His heart. We can still reap joy in the heart of God. We can be children who bring joy to the heart of God. How is that? Well, there are a lot of ways, none the least of which is to have a heart that is joyful and cheerful in giving back. Generous giving blesses the heart of God. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace do what towards you? He's able to make all grace give you just barely enough, right? He is able to make all grace abound. What's the difference between having enough and abounding? What's the difference between having just enough and abounding? What's the difference between having just enough and abounding? I'm asking. Overflowing, extra. Abounding is way more than enough overflowing. There's this picture we're going to see here that he builds that says it's almost as if when I give joyfully, you would think I have less, but I actually end up with even more to give next time. I'm going to suggest to you that in this passage, we're going to see, I think God finds people who are joyful givers to give them more because He knows joyful givers, if He gives them more, they'll just take it and give more. So, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And grace is about a lot more than just material possessions, but it does not exempt material things, by the way. I know oftentimes we want to look at this and say, we're just talking about spiritual blessings, and it is that. But I'm also not saying it's not material blessings. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God says, if you have a generous heart to give materially, to give of your time, to give of your resources and your ability, if you have a generous heart to give those things away, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide you with even more, because I know in a generous heart, if you get more stuff, more time, more abilities, you're going to give more away. I want to find people who are conduits to give. And the ones with generous hearts are. I don't want to go around looking for stingy hearts, because when they have just enough, they're going to keep it for themselves. I want to find people who, when they get more stuff, they give more away. You know, it's that raise you get, and immediately you start thinking about that boat. Rather than, well, how can I use it to bless the Lord? Look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the boat. Or a new set of golf clubs, or a new dress, or whatever. All that stuff's fine and well. Praise the Lord for all that stuff. But I'm saying here, It seems to indicate that those giving with generous hearts, God's looking for these because he'll give them more than enough, because he knows if he gives them more than enough, they'll keep giving more away. And so verse 9, and he quotes a psalm, as it is written, "He has dispersed abroad, he being God, has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." This is nothing new, Paul says. This truth has been going on since the Old Testament. God has always poured out on those with generous hearts. Verse 10, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower," that's God, the seed is what we plant to get the grass, right? So God supplies the seed. God supplies the resource for us to quote-unquote sow. "He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." He says not only is God going to provide what you have to sow, then guess what? Once you sow it, he's going to multiply the impact of it. So you thought you sowed just enough for this much impact. God says, not only am I going to give you what you sow, I'm going to give you what you sow, and then I'm going to use it in such a way that instead of this impact you expected, I'm going to make this impact. You can't possibly know what your giving is going to do and the extent of it. And I'll suggest this, you may never know. There may be people who are impacted by your financial offering, by your time offering, by your talent offering in ways that you didn't even know about. And may not even know about till you get to heaven. But God not only provides what you sow, then he takes after you've sown and he affects the impact to make it more than you ever thought it could be. "Well, I've just got a little bit to give." That's of no concern. You give with a generous heart, and I'm telling you, God's going to use that to impact in ways you never could have thought of. Look at verse 11. "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Thanksgiving through us. This section is all about the impact in the lives of believers, not only the sower, but also the people impacted by it. As people give generously, not only does it impact them, but it impacts others all around them. Watch this. Not only does generosity impact the heart of God, generous giving builds the life of believers. There's an impact on me and you and us. There's this time Jesus sat down in one of the entryways to the temple. And the place where he sat had one of the giving box, kind of like our joy boxes are, except those were bigger. They didn't have electronic giving. So they had these big boxes that people would give offerings as they came into the temple. And a lot of the people who were wealthy would make a big show of it. I guess they would bring all the metal coins they could and drop them in and make a big show and make sure everyone noticed their large offering. Right? People, but Jesus sat up kind of across from the offering box and just began to watch. And his 12 were with him, including Judas, who was stealing money from him. We find out later. And so this little poor widow lady comes through. Nobody noticed her offering. Nobody even saw her come in except Jesus. And she dropped one little coin in, nothing that anyone would notice except Jesus did. Some of you may remember this story. He begins to tell his disciples, "Hey, you know who gave the most coming in and out?" And the disciples go, "I don't know, maybe that guy with the big purple robe. I bet he gave the most." And they're probably wondering, "Well, who gave the most?" And Jesus said, "No, I'm going to tell you who gave the most. You remember that little widow lady?" "What lady?" that little widow lady who came through a little way. "You remember her?" "Oh, yeah." "Well, do you know she gave one little coin? And her coin was worth more than what everybody else gave." Watch this. How many people do we have throughout the scriptures that we have registered as giving? We know we have Barnabas listed. We have the widow, the widow's mite listed. We have very few people listed by name who gave, right? Most of the time we talk about groups of giving, we talk about offerings, but very few people are mentioned by name. Now, this widow's not mentioned by name. Zacchaeus, by the way, gave. He's mentioned by name. And so very few people are actually mentioned personally in their giving, but this widow was. Now watch this. Jesus was talking about this widow to the disciples who would launch the church, right? Jesus is talking to his disciples about this widow. Not only would these disciples launch the church, we're still talking about this widow today. We are still discipling one another from the scriptures about this widow today. Could she have possibly known the power of her offering? I'm going to pause for just a second. Brother Ted, is Benny okay? I think we need to stop for just a second. Let's just stop for just a moment. If y'all just kind of lifted hands, let's pray for having some trouble back here. Let's pray for him. Father, in Jesus' name, I do lift up to you Benny, and I pray that you would strengthen him now. Lord, I pray you'd help us to know kind of how to care for him. Lord, that you would bless him, and you would help him now. Lord, we'd ask you this in the mighty and the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's let you continue to pray right where you are in just a moment. We'll continue in just a second. Amen. You keep praying for Benny, Brother Benny, as he goes and as they tend to him. Amen. The widow lady is still discipling people today from her offering. Do you think when she placed that little coin, that half a penny in the offering box, do you think in that moment she could have possibly conceived of the fact that it was going to disciple the 12 disciples who would launch the church? Do you think she could have conceived of the fact that her little offering was still going to be discipling people in February of 2020? Right here at Golden Acres Baptist Church in Phoenix City, Alabama. There was no Phoenix City when she gave her offering. There was no America. No one in that area even knew about North America, let alone know about this church. How can you possibly know the impact of your generous giving? I'm telling you, folks, when we give generously, there's no way of knowing how much it is going to build the life of other believers, but it does. Are you a person with a generous heart, with a joyful giving? And then look at verse 12. For, Paul says, the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints. And so there's a basic entry level that this offering accomplishes, and is supply the needs of the saints. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So there are two parts here in verse 12 that he describes. One is blessing the saints, the other is blessing God. Once again, greatest commandment, what is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is a vertical piece. It is a horizontal piece. The giving of generosity, the generous heart, still the same thing. It blesses God. It blesses people. That's your offering. Oh, you just thought it was helping do a few things around the church. I'm telling you, when you give with a cheerful heart, it blesses the heart of God. It blesses the heart of people. Verse 13. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. This offering that Paul's receiving here from the Corinthians is eventually going to go to Jerusalem, to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had experienced famine and all kinds of trouble. They were having trouble. And when that offering gets to them, according to verse 13, he says they are going to glorify God because of it. When I give generously, when I give joyfully, One of the things it does is it causes me to get great joy out of seeing God glorified. When I give generously, I'm not concerned whether or not someone notices me. When I give of my time generously, I'm not really concerned that someone notices me. And when I give joyfully and generously, I'm not that concerned that you notice me. But if I'm giving joyfully and you never notice me, but I know that you're glorifying God because of it, I get more joy from it. And he says here, this offering is going to hit the church in Jerusalem and they are going to glorify God because of it. I'll tell you this. If you thought you were giving generously of your monetary offerings or your time or your resources, if you thought you were giving generously, but you're offended because nobody noticed, you may want to rethink that. You're offended because no one noticed you, because no one noticed what you were doing, because no one noticed how you were serving, because no one noticed how much you were giving. Years and years ago, I was preaching a youth conference, and it was at a local church, a bunch of churches involved, and I was out in the hallway waiting to go in to preach, kind of the hallway beside the sanctuary, and I began to prayerfully, just praying about the message that God would use me, and as I walked down the hallway, I saw some chairs and a table and some other things. And on each piece of furniture, I noticed a little brass tag. Pastor Todd knows what I'm... You know what I'm going to say, don't you? And on each tag, it had names of people. And on each tag, it made sure to identify the people who gave that piece of equipment. And that was early on in my ministry. And from that point, I got to tell you, I don't know that I'll never say never. There could be some enormous exception. But from that point on, I said, Lord, let me not ever be in a place where we think it's good to make sure to glorify people for what they gave. Like every piece of furniture had somebody's name on it. And he says here, really, when it's given joyfully, when what you're doing is given generously, and the people receive it or the people are blessed by it, what happens is they glorify God, and that should bring you joy. And if you're offended that nobody notices what you do or you're giving, step back a little bit and rethink your position. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. By the way, they're going to glorify God, but they're also going to pray for you, so it ends up benefiting the giver anyway. Make no mistake about it. If you're giving generously, let me not mistake by saying you're going to be blessed by it. They're going to glorify God. You're giving joyfully. Ultimately, you'll be blessed by the giving. Make no mistake about it. In verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Generous giving, watch this, broadcasts the power of Christ. It's not broadcasting our generosity. Generous giving broadcasts the power of Christ. And we're going to be blessed by it. But ultimately, the intent is that Christ would be exalted. Christ would be honored. In his book, Autobiography, Up From Slavery, if you haven't read it, I strongly encourage it. Booker T. Washington, who was born a slave, after the Civil War, his family moved to West Virginia. When he became of age, he worked two or three jobs in the salt mines, the coal mines, and he saved up enough money to travel by foot, day and night, to Hampton College, at the time in Virginia. He went to Hampton College, went there as a student. The story of even how he got accepted is amazing. He basically stood outside the president's office for days until they finally would accept him. And he went through school. He was such a magnificent student that when a group of people from Tuskegee, Alabama, petitioned Hampton College for someone to come and teach some of the freed slaves in industry and in agriculture, immediately they thought of Booker T. Washington. They sent him to Tuskegee, Alabama, and as they say, the rest is history. But here's the thing about Booker T. Washington. If you've never read his autobiography, he was a man who loved the Lord. He was a man of God. He became one of the most sought-after speakers of his era. And think of all the thousands and thousands of people who have been trained there, but he did it for the glory of God. Now, I don't know what people know now, but if you read his autobiography, you'll see what he did with a heart for the Lord. And how could he have possibly fathomed the number of people who would come through his school? And I would suggest for the glory of God. Whether people know that or think that now, I'm telling you what his heart was. Generous giving is going to magnify and broadcast the power of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, generous expressions of giving, they're going to have an impact far beyond your gift. There was a little girl years ago, about 8 or 9 years old. Her name was Hattie Mae Wyatt. Hattie Mae Wyatt. Remember that name. She lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And one Sunday morning, she went to church, to Sunday school. And the Sunday school room was so crowded, she couldn't get in. The pastor came along, saw her standing there, picked her up, carried her into the back corner of the Sunday school room and sat her down in a chair, but the room was packed. The next day, the pastor was walking down the street and he saw Hattie Mae and he said, "Hattie Mae, how are you doing today?" And she said, "I'm doing good." He said, "I hope that soon we'll be able to build a Sunday school large enough for all the children." And she said, Is it when we have the money we're going to do it?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, we're going to do it." 2 or 3 days later, he got a call that Hattie Mae had gotten very ill. And unfortunately, she passed within a couple of days. And when they went into her bedroom, and this is a true story, when they went into her bedroom, under her pillow were 57 pennies. 57 pennies with a note that said, "For the children's Sunday school expansion." Pastor took those pennies back to church and he told the people about them, and they began to receive an offering and expanded those buildings and bought more property. And today on that property stands Temple University. Started from 57 pennies. And I just want them, and there's no way to know the extent of what God can do through your generosity. There's no way to know if you're giving with a generous heart, the extent of the impact in this generation or generations beyond, 2, 3 generations down the road, the impact of that. But I'm saying this morning, God, help us by the power of Jesus Christ that we would be people walking in the generosity of Jesus Christ, in our giving of our money, in our giving of our time, in our giving of our abilities. And God says, "You do that, I promise, I'll give you more than you can even hold on to so that you can give more after." It's the amazing impact of generosity. And so today I'm going to say this. If you've never come to Christ, you've never received the Savior who will put that generosity in your heart. If you've never come to know Christ, and maybe today's a good day for that. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and find out how to know Christ as your Savior, how to be born again. Maybe you're still seeking, "Lord, how can I give? Show me how to give. Show me ways to give. Show me what steps we need to take." Because it's intentional, right? And maybe you just want to come and get at the altar and pray. Seek the Lord. I'll be here in front. There'll be some folks here in front you can pray with. If you're just like, "Hey, can I just want some wisdom on what steps to take to be able to give generously." That we would be that church, that we would be those people. Pray with me. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, help us to respond to your word and obey you in these moments. You stand as we sing.